So good today to worship with you as we approach the Christmas season. As you know, I have been going through 1 Corinthians methodically. I am going to suspend that for 3 weeks, so you know. And we'll come back to it, to one of the most challenging but amazing passage in 1 Corinthians 11. And some of you may be interested in it because it deals with women's role in the church and women in ministry. Most pastors dare not tread that ground, but we will try, and we will see what the Lord is speaking to us about. Before I begin the message here, it is a two-week Christmas message, I suppose. I want to take an opportunity to introduce somebody to you. I don't do that often, but I really want to do that, and she doesn't know that. I have had many staff in my life, and in New York City, I have well over 20, about 30 staff, and she is by far the best staff that God has ever given to me. A good friend, kind of part of our family, and she's visiting with us. One of my staff from New York City, Yulia, and her husband, Jimmy Wong. Could you just stand for a moment? And we just want to greet you. And that compact little person is an amazing anointing from the Almighty God. So whoever has you in working, they are so blessed. I just want to do that. You know, I've been in ministry, Bob and I were talking about it. We've been married almost 40 years. I know that's nothing for some of you guys, but for us, it's a long time. And we've been in ministry over 38 years. When we began ministry, things weren't the same at all by any stretch. There's no such thing as cell phones. There were barely anything like copy machines. I remember the first time I made bulletins for the church. You know, we started a church, so we had to do everything. I used that thing called, I don't know what it is. You type in, it puts holes in things, and then there's ink in it, and you get all messy and everything. Eventually, you come, a rexograph, right? Something like that. I don't know what it's called. Finally, we got saved up enough money in our church to buy a Xerox machine, a used one. It cost me $800. Can you imagine that? $800 for a used Xerox machine. And this is how it worked. I had to put one in to get one out. Good thing we only have 50 people in the church, right? So I'm like, one in, one out, one in, one out, one in, one out. So we did our bulletins that way. After I typed it all out with two fingers, I don't type, you know, just two fingers on a typewriter. So it's been a lot of changes. I think the biggest change that has happened to our society and probably dealing with everything, including ministry, is the invention of the internet. Would you not agree? Internet has changed so much of everything. I mean, even here, you know, I'm reading the Bible from the internet. That's what I have. We just don't do the same things anymore that we did 40 years ago. And there's so many things about the internet, but one of the things about the internet that has come out, and everybody's a part of it, it doesn't matter who you are, even if you're older like me, and that is something called social media. Social media is basically a technological advanced ability with the internet and other things to project information out there and to receive information. Along with many, many good things about social media are some really bad things, of course. You know, we have things like Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, kind of. Millennials don't want to be in Facebook. I know you don't want your parents knowing what's happening in your life. WeChat. You know, things like Twitter. You know, on and on and on. I'm told that well over 100 million people in the United States have an account somewhere. I have 3 or 4 of these accounts myself, right? So billions of people in the world are using this thing, and it does things to change our lives. One of the things it does is it allows us to project something about ourselves that we may not be, right? You put on Facebook who you are, you never put down anything bad about yourself, of course. You're a handsome guy, you know, rich and famous and on and on and on. You put all that, you go to somebody's Facebook page and you see these kind of things, you're kind of, not really, I don't believe it. But you know what, it's nevertheless, it's there. So we don't know who anybody is. And the concept of vulnerability and transparency and reality is really hard to understand. So when we read about somebody in the news, we don't really know what they are. This is what we know about them. That's what it says. That's what Wikipedia says. But we don't know whether it's true or false, right? And that leads to a lot of things. So when we look at a person like Joseph and Mary, whom I call two amazing people. How do we know who they really are? Which kind of reminds me of a story I heard recently. And it was about an unemployed college student, actually. He graduated. And after he graduated, he couldn't get a job. He didn't know what to do. I mean, that happens. You know, some of you know that. You can't get a job. So he's applying everywhere, and he saw an ad. Jobs available. It was in a zoo. And in the zoo, there was jobs available. He said, well, I don't really want to work in a zoo, but, you know, I need a job. So he went there, and he went to the zoo and applied for a job. The guy said, you know what? Oh, our jobs are filled. I'm so sorry. We have no more jobs. Well, wait a minute. We do have one temporary one. I don't know if you want this job or not. He said, what is it? And, you know, I need a job bad. He said, well, it's kind of a little weird. We have a really, really popular exhibit. It's the gorilla exhibit. And our gorilla just, well, passed away 2 days ago. And people are really missing it. So, hey, listen, we got a gorilla suit. You want the job? So he said, wow, that's just weird. Now, all you have to do is get in it. You're not going to do some tumbling act. Roll around, and kids will be crazy about it. That's all. That's all you have to do. And pretty soon, we'll get a new gorilla, and you're done. We'll get you another job then. He said, oh, okay. So he goes in the first day. You know, he's really apprehensive. He doesn't know what to do. He's going in there. He got in the gorilla suit. He goes up there, and all these kids are there looking, oh, wow, gorilla. So he started doing things, you know, walking around like a gorilla. Did a little tumbling, and kids are really excited. He said, wow, I like this job. And that went the first day. And the next day he said, you know, I want to do more things. The kids came and the parents came and the crowds got bigger. So he started climbing on the rocks, you know, and climbing on the trees. And they're clawing. He's throwing things at them. And they really like it. So that's great. The next day, more people came, more kids. The schools are coming to see him. So he's so excited about it. He got out there, got excited. He climbed up to a tree, and he's pounding himself, and they're cheering. And he thought, you know, let me just swing on this vine, you know. He grabbed a vine, and he swung hard, and he's just going, and they're just cheering like crazy. And unfortunately, he swung a little too hard, and the vine broke. And he flew over the fence and landed in another exhibit. It's the lion exhibit. He landed there, and he got up, and he looks across about 10 feet away. It's this ferocious lion looking at him, and he didn't know what to do. He said, what should I do? You want to scream for help, but if I scream for help, I'm going to give it away. What should I do? Am I going to get eaten? So he didn't have to think about it because the lion started coming toward him real fast. And, you know, without thinking, he yelled out, help! The lion stopped. Looked at him and said, shut up, idiot, or you're going to lose. We're both going to lose our jobs. You know, sometimes that's kind of who we are. I didn't tell that real well, but, you know, sometimes we project ourselves a little like that. You know, I'm a gorilla, I'm a lion. No, we're not. We're nothing at all. We are things there. And so when we read about people in the media, we say, who are they? And sometimes when we read about people in the Bible, we're not really knowing for sure who they are, too. Today, I want to share with you about these two people. I'm not sure how well you know Mary and Joseph. Maybe Mary you know a little bit more about. Joseph, how much do you really know about him? So who are they? Who are they? So here are two folks getting married. In case you don't know, you have to understand a little bit now. It's not a typical marriage like we have an understanding in America. This is a Hebrew marriage. This is a Jewish marriage. This is how it goes. If you can believe it, a typical marriage involves teenagers. Unless it's not typical, unless it's stated, and the Bible doesn't state that it's not typical. This is a typical marriage of two young persons, probably 12 and 13 years old. Possibly up to 16, and that's about it. Older than that is unusual, because Jewish folks, they get married young. And this is how it works, okay? Two families get together, and they might know each other or not. They might not. They might like each other or not. They might not, okay? But they get together, and they have a contract of marriage. And the marriage in the Hebrews community works like this. It is not just getting married. There is something called a betrothal. You say, is that like an engagement? Not quite. We have an engagement here. You put a ring on somebody, say, oh, well, I'm engaged to this person, right? You're engaged. No, that's not what this is. This is a betrothal. In the Jewish world, it's called kiddushin. This is a kiddushin. It is a contract in which, say, Barbara and I, we are now in a kiddushin relationship. We are married, in our words, in English. We are legally bound. We are legally married to each other, but we don't touch each other. We do not consummate the marriage. We have not slept together. We haven't done anything that a man and wife in marriage do. They do not do that. They are separated. They are betrothed. That's what that is. And it lasts usually for 6 months to a year. And the reason for that is because it proves fidelity, you see. If somebody been involved in infidelity, then it would be proven a baby would be born. So 6 months to a year lasts long. So these two are involved in that. And afterwards, when they are married, it's called the chuppah. Try to say the chuppah. All right, they get married, and the wedding, usually a typical Jewish wedding, is about 7 days long. You remember the wedding at Cana? If you ever seen any Jewish wedding, that's how it is. It's a long wedding. And that's when they officially, in our mind, they consummate the wedding. They are literally man and wife, not just legally, but physically. Okay? This is what a wedding is. This is what a betrothal is. So, these two were betrothed. Possibly, Mary was 12 or 13 years old. I know today we would call that pedophilia, but back in those days, that was the standard. And Joseph was probably about maybe 14, a couple years older usually, when he became kind of a man type of thing. And so these are the two persons there. Then who else are they anyway? You know, what is involved in this, all right? You have to understand now that what has gone on, what we read about, involved two teenagers, two young people. Sometimes, you know, we don't give any credit to our teenagers. I always say this, and throughout much of my life in ministry, I work with young people. And I think young people are brilliant. I think they're really smart. I know as parents, grandparents, sometimes we think otherwise, but I think they are. In fact, Bob and I, we made most of our decisions when we were teenagers. I decided to receive Jesus Christ. I decided to serve the Lord as God called me. I decided to marry Barbara long before I left the teenage years. You make a lot of choices as teenagers. And I think maybe perhaps today we just don't burden them with growing up. You know, we say, yeah, you have plenty of time to grow up. You know, go through all your years first. And somehow we think that teenagers are not. No, they are brilliant. God has made them a certain way. And so these are who they are. These are them. But why them? Why them? Interesting. Joseph, if you don't know about Joseph, is this. He was a part of the David lineage. That's important. Because the Bible talks about that Jesus, the Messiah, will be from the line of David. Now, even though he was not the father of David, he was not. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is not son of David. It's never in the Bible has it ever been described, even here, as it's describing Joseph, there will be a son born, not your son. The angel doesn't say it's Joseph's son. But nevertheless, in the family lineage, it is from the line of David. So this is very important. Now, another thing about Joseph that is so important is his character. I don't know if you got what's going on there. When he found out that Mary was pregnant, you know what we would do in America? You know what we typically do in our society? We'll have an abortion. Get rid of it. You can't have that. You see, you have to understand, in the Jewish culture, and it was a little, twisted by then, but if a woman who was betrothed or married officially is found pregnant with another baby, you know what happens to them, right? This is not just a bad thing. It is death. Deuteronomy chapter 22, you can look it up. This is what they do. They stone her to death. And if they find the person that was involved with her, they stone him to death too. That's what happens. So it's a big deal. They never, never, never would consider abortion then in the Jewish culture. That is a crime that you cannot conceive of doing. They will kill the mother. They will kill the perpetrator. So Joseph here, think about it, he's probably 14 years old, maybe 16 years old. He immediately realized something big happened, and he did two things that was really important. It says here, because he was just, or because he was legally just, righteous, because he was a good man, see, he believed in following the laws of God. He didn't rationalize anything away. He knew that Mary, my betrothed, my love in my life, is pregnant. I have no idea how that happened. I can't believe she would do such a thing. You know, I can't even fathom it. But I'm not going to cover it up. I'm not going to make it like it didn't happen. I'm not going to make it go away. I'm not going to try to hide it and be a hypocrite. He was not going to do that. He was going to follow the law, and he was going to divorce her. Now, back then, what happened was the Jewish law under the Greek and the Roman got to a place where you don't have to execute the woman, but you must divorce her. And there was two ways to divorce her. This is the second thing he did that is amazing for him. How dare she do that to me? You know, most of the guys today would say that. She had an adulterous affair with someone. How, before they even hear a word, they will go off and get furious and get angry and do all kinds of, I'm going to get back at her, right? All kinds of stuff you can do and have been done. And she doesn't do that. He says, he was going to divorce her quietly, which means instead of having a big crowd saying, look at her, look at her, look at her, got together and said, you know what? We're going to break that contract. We're not going to tell anybody. We're just going to let it be. So he did two things. He followed the righteous thing to do. And the second thing was he had compassion and kindness and love for somebody. That's an awesome characteristic of a person. That was Joseph, probably at the age of 14. He had made up his mind that he was going to be godly, because he was. His character was unbelievable. So you say, why Joseph? Wow. The Almighty God chose a wonderful man to be the earthly father of the Son of God. Did you think that God would choose a wife beater and a child abuser to care for his son? Absolutely not. Another thing about Joseph that's interesting is he was very plain. He was called a carpenter. There's nothing more plain in those days than a carpenter. An average person, probably a lower middle class, you know, there's not a lot of middle class people back in those days, you're rich or poor. He was very plain. And I love that because you know why? That's who we are. God didn't put Jesus in a family of royalties out there, you know, rich and powerful people where he can lord over others. No, Jesus was just like us because his name was Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that great? That's Joseph. And then when we go to Mary, wow. Here is a teenager, young teenager. Here's a story. Wow. Can you imagine being face to face with an angel who tells you this stuff that has never been heard of ever? You know, nobody ever has been, born from a virgin. It doesn't happen. Just like nobody was resurrected. Nobody, nothing, that stuff doesn't happen. You can write it in stories all you want. You can make up fables all you want. It doesn't happen. There's no reality to it. So when Mary heard this, wow. And look what the angel said about her. You who are highly favored. God saw in this woman godly characteristics. Now, nobody else saw it. Maybe her friends and all, but nobody else. Because she wasn't elevated to anything. She didn't have anything. She didn't control anything. She didn't, run over people. Right now, today, we have people that are like, look at me. I'm great. No, Mary was not that. And she was highly favored by God. I want you to know something about God. He sees your heart. He saw Mary's. He knows exactly who you are. So social media can't help you with God, all right? God doesn't look at Facebook. He looks right at your heart. And he saw Mary. You say, why Mary? She was a nobody, exactly. She was everything to God because God created her, made her. And God saw her and highly favored her. Not because he was just prejudiced for her, because he saw her as the person she was, and you can see it later. So God chose these two people, amazing people. The title is, What Would You Have Done? these two people, they did something that was phenomenal. What would you have done? What did they hear? Here's Joseph. He must have been so broken. Here is his wife, betrothed wife. He's looking forward to a whole lifetime with her. He probably loved her so much. And even if it's an arranged marriage, he must have gotten to know her and discover her kindness, her sweetness, her godliness. Is there anything else you ever read about Mary otherwise? Just a great person. And then this happens. He can't comprehend it because there's no way you can comprehend something like that. You can't just make it up. You just can't. There are things that happen to my life, and I sometimes, you know, say, am I dreaming? How can it be so bad? Am I dreaming? Have you ever thought those kind of things? Is this a dream? Joseph must have been so broken. And then he fell asleep. You know, God speaks to us in many, many ways. The number one way is through his word. But he can speak in any way he wants. He's God. And we know that he's spoken to people in dreams and visions. And so with Joseph, he spoke through a dream. And in that dream, everything was clarified. But it's weird, you know? It's weird. Wait a minute. What are you saying again? This angel tells him that all this stuff that he's never heard of before, don't be afraid. Because the Holy Spirit caused this to happen. Not another man. She didn't commit adultery. It was God. It was God's action that did it. Can you imagine that? Just can you imagine that? God did this. There are things in our lives, you know, God does. It isn't because of some wicked people. It could be part of it, but God used it. It could be something that someone has done, but it was God that did it. It is God that did this. And you know what? I thought about this and I read, wait a minute. If Joseph had this dream, how would he wake up? After the dream, how's his feelings? And I thought, I'm not sure if I would feel great about it, because even though God did it, I'm going to have to live out the consequences, right? I'm going to have to live out the consequences. God did it. My wife is pregnant with another man. In our culture, that's unacceptable. She's going to be called all kinds of names. We're going to grow up. No one's going to be our friends. Nobody wants to be with us because we have a child that is not my son. And God did it. Does that make it better? It doesn't make it easier for the people out there to us. But I want to tell you, Joseph woke up, and I believe it made a difference in him. Because you see, for him, he was a godly man. What God wanted was more important than what he wanted. Maybe, you know, in his mind, he was thinking about, if this never happened, it would be better. But after that dream, he knew. This is God using him and Mary. And what about Mary? Mary is scared. And when she heard what the angel said, she said, why me? Why did God bless me? Can you imagine that? Why did God bless me? I know, you know, after 2,000 years and all the glorification of Mary in a lot of different churches and settings and so forth, you say, Mary was so blessed. But back then, how could she possibly think of that? She's 12 years old. She's 13 years old. She's pregnant with a baby not from her husband. How can she think that's a blessing? But she did. She heard. See, there's all kinds of things we can hear, you know. When we hear from God, we can hear all kinds of stuff. Sometimes all we want to hear are blessings that we imagine. Make me healthy. Make me wealthy. Make me powerful. Make me famous. You know, that's what we want to hear. But are we really hearing from God? And this is what she heard from God. She heard that God was going to use her. This little girl in the middle of nowhere with no family background, no power, so God is going to use this little girl to bless the world. Are you kidding me? Can you believe that God can do that with you too? Is it possible? Have you ever heard God speak to you and say, I have a great and awesome plan for you that is more than just a mundane life you think you're going to live? You say, no, I can't believe it. But God does want to do that with each one of us. But with Mary, this is what he said. You are going to have a baby. That baby's name is going to be Jesus. He's going to save the world. Oh, my goodness. That's what she heard. She didn't hear all the acrimonious cries of the neighbors and the cultures and the family saying, what kind of person are you, Mary? How terrible you are. She expected that all in her life that's going to happen to her. You know that. And it did happen to her. But that's what she heard. And how did they respond? They embraced it. From everything that we have found in the Word of God, from everything that we have found from these two chapters onward through the life of Jesus, they embraced him. We know that Joseph waited till Jesus was born. And then they had other children. Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. They had a life together. They raised Jesus. They knew who he was. They did everything in their power by God's grace to raise the Son of God. Can you imagine the burden of that? They protected him. They did everything that the Lord told them to do. They responded, didn't complain. Didn't say, God, we did all that. All you left us is with a poor salary as a carpenter. Couldn't you have done a little better considering the job we're doing for you? No, none of that. Nothing like that. They just loved on God, blessed God, and knew that they were in God's favor because of the wonderful thing that God has done. How would you have responded? I know that there are people in our congregation, people I have ministered with before, that have been called to ministry. They've been called to be missionaries. They've been called to be pastors. They've been called to do things in their lives. They told me so. They said, no. There have been people that have been called to minister to people in ways that are so maybe difficult seeming. I said, God, I can't do that. I want you to know, if Mary and Joseph can be that, the parents of the greatest birth on earth, you and I can be likewise in so many ways to minister to this world for Jesus' sake. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you. Thank you so much. I want to thank you for ministering in lives and doing great and awesome things. Thank you for Joseph and Mary. One day we'll see them and we'll be able to talk to them. But thank you for how they bless you. And they have been a blessing to us. Lord God, there are people in this room I know you're speaking to. Oh, Lord God, would you help them to respond to you by just trusting you, believing that you can, because you're the great God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, church, so we're going to respond today in a little different fashion. Instead of a song response, we're just going to go into the offertory time, and so as the ushers get ready to make their way down here. Again, we try to orient all of our parts of the service to focus our minds towards Christ. And so the reason why we do offertory here is, again, same thing, to focus our eyes on Christ. So whether that's physically giving of your resources, maybe that's writing down a prayer request and then putting it into the basket. Either way, it's a physical response to go, how do we fix our eyes back on Jesus Christ? And just like the passage says, Mary, Joseph, this whole thing points to Jesus being the Savior of the world. And so this is how we're going to respond today, church. And so if you want to use the bulletin, there's a sheet for you to either fill out with prayer request or help you direct your tithes and offering. And so let's go ahead and respond as a church individually together, and let's go ahead and take up the offering. Let's do this. Father God, we give you thanks right now. After hearing the word spoken and preached, may we now respond, not as under compulsion, but out of obedience to you. If you sent your Son to be the hope and the joy and salvation of this world, then as your people, how can we not respond? And so whether that is to be humble today, whether that's to be joyful, whether that's to sing praises or to repent, may we do so in obedience to the spoken word that you've directed to us today. As we physically give, not only of our resources, but again, of our tithes, of our energies and efforts, will you continue to bless it, ultimately for your glory, but also for our joy. And may we do this together as one body, as CBC. And so we give you thanks today. It's your son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, CBC. My name is Justin Hong, and this is your Morning News Announcements Network. Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing a cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Christmas caroling will be today, Sunday, December 17th. At 2 p.m. will be Colonial Oaks. At 3:30 p.m. will be at Goldberg Tower. Then on Saturday, December 23rd, will be at 1:30 p.m. at the Rainbow Village Apartments. For more information, you can pick up a sheet in the foyer or check the website. Come and celebrate a birthday party for Jesus. All children of grades 1 through 5 are invited. Bring a friend or two on Sunday, December 24th at 11:15 a.m. All birthday gifts will be donated to the Houston Pregnancy Help Center, an organization that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in both word and deed. A year-end two-hour elementary children's program will be held in Children's Center on December 31st from 10 a.m. through 12 p.m. Please pick up your children at 12 noon before heading over to the potluck. Thank you for tuning in to this morning's announcements. Hope to see you at these next upcoming events. Have a great week. See you at Sunday school.
Good morning, church family. For those of you who don't know, my name is Mary Quay. I'm a member of the Personnel Committee. And on behalf of the Personnel Committee, we have a couple things to announce. First, Pastor Timothy Chen, we have decided, after prayerful consideration, not to move forward with him as the interim Mandarin. Second, we have decided to elevate Pastor Oleg to candidate formally. So there will be a vote for him on January 7th. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Please keep Pastor Oleg's family in prayer. He's been a real blessing to us so far, all these years. Not years, months, I mean. For me, it's years. So we'll trust the Lord in leading you as a church with us together to vote on him. And that'll be 1:15 on Sunday, January 7th. Would you rise with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for giving us the privilege to come before the throne of grace, allowing us to meet you, to worship in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, thank you for all that you do in our lives every single day and today, Lord. We just love you so much. And now as we go to our Sunday school classes and other services that are happening, and also throughout this day, would you use each one of us here to be a blessing to one another, to others, and also to glorify your name. And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Spirit of God be with each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.